thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, that we come to you and we come boldly to this throne of grace this morning. And Lord, thank you, God, that we're not only welcomed, we're cherished by you. Thank you, Lord, for the love that nothing can ever sever. Thank you, Lord, for your hand that no one, no man, no thing can pluck us out of your hand. Thank you, Lord, that it is the seed that remaineth. Thank you, Lord, that our inheritance is reserved in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Your love in the word and the truth, Lord God, that pours forth and gives us such blessed assurance is mine. And Lord, let us truly all just sit back in that rocking chair of grace this morning. Lord, just rock us in that grace. Rock us, Lord, in the wonderful rest of God. Help us to cease even more from our works, Lord God, that just distract us. And enter into the perfect peace that passes all understanding. My son finished it all on the cross for you. Lord, we thank you that we praise a risen Savior this morning. We're grateful to God for your only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, who loves us so. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise his name. If you'd like to open your Bibles this morning, we'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll go over to Romans chapter 10 and then huddle back in Philippians chapter 3. And that's all if the Lord tarry, or it'll be face to face. Praise God. But in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That is so good, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, that's beyond warm and fuzzy. That is just so thankful to God for his blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste divine is that. Amen. And I'm just thanking God for, again, his great love. So simply by believing in his death and resurrection. As it says over in Romans 10, verse 9. Again, so sweet, so simple, so beautiful, so pure, so the grace of God. 10:9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." See, I don't find any works in that, do you? I don't find any doings in that, do you? I believe I see all faith in that by the grace of God, that if I just would confess with my mouth Jesus and believe in my heart that, you know, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Praise God. If there's anybody here this morning that might be questioning their salvation, don't know if they're saved, maybe you have never accepted Christ as Savior, there it is. Call out on Jesus. Just call out on Jesus in his name. "Lord, come into my heart. I believe you died for me, and I believe you're raised from the grave. Hallelujah." And you're saved. Isn't that wonderful? No other requirement but to believe that he has risen. But see, last week we gloried and saw that believing was only the beginning of the power of the resurrection. See, believing is only the beginning of the power of the resurrection. Now, if you go on over to Philippians chapter 3, this is what was made known to us that goes on in the power of that resurrection if we will allow the Lord to work this in our life. This was Brother Paul. And in the 10th verse it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And if you ever wonder why Paul is calling out to God in this wonderful prayer, in this encouragement to his heart and to ours, why I would want to know him in the power of his resurrection and know him in the fellowship of his sufferings and know him being made conformable unto his death, it tells you in verse 11 why. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the out-resurrection, that is the first trump rapture, that is the bridal calling. Amen. That is wonderful. So simple again is the word of God. But you see, brothers and sisters, that I, hallelujah, might not only believe in the power of the resurrection, but I might know Jesus Christ in the power of it. The power of his resurrection not only gave us the newness of life, that means Christ, praise God, Christ's own life living in me, but now I can know this power. Not just believe in that power, not something just afar off. I can know this power, and I can know it in the word that know is, matter of fact, in what that word know means. It means to know intimately, as a husband would know a wife. Now you think, now Lord, why would you put that kind of knowledge and that kind of meaning in that word know, talking about the power of your resurrection? Well, if you recall last week in Romans 8:11, it told us very specifically that the power that raised Christ from the dead was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And if you know the word of God in the book of John, why Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, was to send us the Holy Ghost. He told the disciples, he said, he's with you and he shall be in you. And once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll have power. And the power of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, is exactly what Christ Jesus told those disciples. I have many things to say unto you. I have many things that I want to tell you. They had been with him for over 3 years. 3 years. John had laid his head upon his breast. He had heard the heartbeat of his Savior. He loved him. And more importantly, he knew that I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Isn't that wonderful? The lover. But even though that they had been with him in that way and been with him in that encouragement, Jesus could not minister to them the things that he wanted to say further on. He said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. You can't understand them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, when he, the Holy Ghost, is come, when he, the Comforter, is come, when he, the power of the resurrection, is come, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will give you the power to be able to understand all truth. All truth. So do you see how the Lord, again, in his precious way, he connects all this for us. So simply, the Spirit's power. If you really think the very power of the Holy Ghost is knowledge. It's to know him. Amen? It's to know the love of Christ. See, they saw the Lord. They saw him with their eyes. They saw him do those miracles. But the greatest thing that we could ever know is to know the love of Christ. They saw those things. They were with him for all those years. But yet they couldn't really understand who Jesus, in a sense, really, really was in the greatness of his love. It had to be by the power of his might. It had to be by the Holy Ghost. And see, brothers and sisters, that's just it. The Spirit's power is knowledge. And the knowledge, brothers and sisters, is to know the love of Jesus. And to know the love of Jesus for you. And praise be to God to know it so much, so completely, so sincerely. As we started this morning, to know it not just that for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. To not just love it that Jesus so loves me, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But this is that elevated, that pinnacle of love. As Paul said, if by any means I might attain to that rapture, that bridal trump rapture, That one, praise God, that says, come away, my love, my fair one. Amen? That's the one. And that's exactly what this love knowledge is. And not just, again, to know it, but that I embrace it. And I embrace it now. And when you embrace it now, you know what the evidence will be? You will suffer together with him. Praise God. Amen. And you know that these things aren't strange. And I'm telling you, it's been almost to the point of strange this last year. But then the word of God, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh, honey, don't think this thing strange. This isn't some strange thing that came to defeat you. This, praise God, is that joint suffering together with me, my bride. Because I want you to rule and to reign jointly together with me. Now, let me tell you something. The word says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. This is not going to be, and I loved how I heard this over the years, this isn't no walk in the park. Matter of fact, it's called a wilderness. This is not the lotus land of ease. Matter of fact, he calls it the valley of the shadow of death. See, you didn't realize he says you're a readied wife, so you know what? I think you're in a honeymoon now. Lord, this where you're taking me? But it's the truth. It's the truth. In his faithfulness, he afflicts you. He chastens you. And if you endure chastening, he deals with you as a son. He wants to, because he's already given you all things, but he wants you to grow up into these things. He wants you to realize how exceedingly blessed we are. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, it's so wonderful that is the yielding to God. We just yield, and the sufferings come. And those are the glories of our life. They are. The glories aren't man's trophies. The glories aren't man's accomplishments. We understand that those are corruptible crowns. The Bible talks about those things. I mean, we see this tournament going on and all of these different teams. And I get excited about it because I love basketball. And I love to see these different teams compete for these things. But, you know, like I say, who won the national championship even 2 years ago? How about 1967, 1954, 1950? Does it even matter? Because it's corruptible. We could go on with our presidents. We could go with on and on with all these things. But who is Jesus? And neutral you cannot be. You'll either praise him or you'll curse him. It'll either cause you to respond with a heart welled up in tears to say, oh, thank you. Thank you that I know that name. Thank you that I can call upon that name. Or it'll drive you to a hatred that you'll be so incensed that you will do anything and everything, and it is beyond your power because it's the working of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. To get rid and eliminate that name. Because there's no other power but that name. That's why, again, we can talk about the great religions of the world, but I don't waste time. We could talk about all of the different thoughts and concepts of that, but I don't want to waste time. And you know what? It doesn't offend anybody. It really doesn't. But there is a name that does. Because there's a name neutral you cannot be. And that's the name Jesus. Praise the Lord. But see, brothers and sisters, what we see here, especially in this 10th verse of the 3rd chapter, we see perfect order for us, for man. That I may know him. And here's how I'm going to know Jesus. I can't even begin to know him without the power of his resurrection. I have to know him in that. I have to believe he's raised from the dead. Praise God. That's part of that wondrous salvation to me. Hallelujah. But then after I have that, then by the grace of God, as that's encouraged in my life, I'll begin to fellowship, partake. Matter of fact, that word fellowship, again, once again, is to know as a husband and wife. Did you know that? There's bridal message written all over this verse. In so many different facets, it's unbelievable. It gets so deep, there's children here, I can't even tell you. But it's true. Go look up those words. It'll make you blush how much he loves you. but it's true. And then finally being made conformable unto his death. But see, that is the perfect order that we have here, brothers and sisters. See, without the power of his resurrection, you never have the newness of his life. You don't have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't have the life of Christ in you without the power of that resurrection being real in your life. See, we had to have the power of his resurrection even to begin to walk in the Lord. We had to have the power of his resurrection to be made righteous by his blood to even begin to ever yield to God. We had to have the power of his resurrection to have his mind to ever know the privilege and honor to suffer together with him. And praise be to God, he gave every bit of it to us on the cross. And that's just it, see, this perfect order I'm talking about. Man and man's ways and man's thoughts and man's goodness is completely out of order with God. You think about how man, and again, in our self-righteousness, how we always want to attack things in our life. I'm talking about naturally speaking, and especially ungodly man. They want to go about it completely opposite. I'm going to be conformable unto God. I'm going to be like him, right? It's never about the power of Jesus. It's about what would Jesus do. Let's talk about his parables. Let's talk about all these things. No, let's talk about his finished work on the cross. That's where you're going to get power. And you know we all get duped into that by the enemy, even as children of God, even as his wonderful sheep. Praise the Lord. But who are we hearing? See, I don't want to hear me, and I don't want to hear you. I want to hear him. Amen. And if that offends you, good. And if it offended me, better. I want to hear him. Amen. And see, in that, brothers and sisters, this is what happens. Man thinks that they can be conformable unto God. Man then thinks that, you know what? Oh, yeah, I'll suffer together with him. Look at these nuts. They have pictures of them all the time. You know, they're going to fast for this, and they're going to go live up on a pole. That one guy lived up there for months and months. And he stunk so bad they couldn't even bring his food up to him anymore. You see? It's all refuse to God. Amen. That's all filthy rags to God. Right. The only working is from the power of what his son did on the cross and in our precious risen Savior. Praise be to God. See, man gets it all backwards. And the reason they get it all backwards is because when you refuse to give glory only to Jesus and on his finished work on the cross, let me tell you something, you'll always be a mess. You'll always be a mess. It's always but for the grace of God that is with me. And it'll always be something you'll never get done in your life. See, hear what Paul is saying here. Getting back to this 10th verse. That I may know him. I mentioned it earlier, to know him in the intimacy as a husband would know a wife. And Paul says this after 30 years that he has walked with God. Paul wasn't doubting his salvation. Paul wasn't wondering, am I going to be in heaven? Paul was the one that was encouraged. He'd already said, I'm seated together in the heavens in Christ. Praise the Lord, I'm already there in my precious Lord. But see, there was a hope. An abounding desire that the most intimate knowledge of his resurrection would be living in Christ in Paul, just like for Christ in me. And see, brothers and sisters, this is such a witness to us. I go back to Galatians 4:1. It says that every child of God is a little Lord of all. A Lord of all. You have been given everything. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Our precious Father has not withheld anything from us. He's given it all to us in his Son. But it goes on to say there in the 4th chapter of Galatians that if we don't grow up as that child in every bit of the knowledge of what we've been given, we remain but a servant. A servant in the palace, even though you had rights to ruling and reigning over all of it. That's truth. Go over to Romans 8. It says, if you're a child of God, and how are you a child of God? Don't listen to the world. The world will tell you, oh, yeah, we're all children of God. No, you're not. You have to be born of God. And without the shedding of blood upon your life, let me tell you something, you ain't born of God. But if you've accepted Christ as Savior, you are a child of God. And praise the Lord, as a child of God, we are heirs and heirs of God. We're heirs. But it says, and joint heirs. This is what Paul is getting at. This is that knowledge that he wants to know Christ Jesus in. And joint heirs, not with God anymore, in a sense the Father, but with Jesus Christ. And that word joint heirs means as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. But there's an if on this one. If so be that you suffer together with me. That's why Paul says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. That spirit power. And then why is the next one? That I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. See, that's the suffering that a husband and wife will enter into. And as it says there in Romans, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that ye suffer together with me. And it didn't end there. So that you might be glorified together with me. Amen? See, I didn't marry my wife to walk 10 paces behind me. She goes before me. She really does. She's my glory. That's why the Bible says the woman is the glory of man. People don't like to hear that, even Christians. Oh, don't think that much. Don't think that much of yourself. It's not me I'm thinking of, it's Jesus. The transformation in my life is him, because he's the only glory there is, amen? And it says that he takes me from glory to glory into his very image. Amen. How simple it is, isn't it? But it sure does get confusing when you wrestle with it. It sure does get something that, well, I just can't handle this when I wrestle with it. Ask Jacob. You can't handle it, but you can sure submit to it. Praise the Lord. But see, that's what it is. It's just, again, believing God. But see, this is the knowing, the intimacy of the husband and wife. And this, again, is such a wonderful witness of this precious reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ. And what we have here is just such an encouragement to us. Grow up. Grow up. Amen? Quit being like children and grow up. Be the sons of God. Live what I have given you. You think about even over the years, and we get those little clips every once in a while of the royal family. And I think of us sometimes, the royal family, and boy, what a bunch of idiots we can be. Huh? And you think of those poor parents, and they're just sitting there, oh, man, when are these kids going to grow up? Little prince, whatever. Oh, my gosh, what an embarrassment. Go hide him, you know. Can we trade him? You know, no, because that's the one that's born. I appreciate what Paul said. I don't want to do anything against the gospel. I don't want to bring shame to it. That's what a grown son does. It's not out of self-righteousness, it's love. I've told my kids many times, and I'm thankful to God, and I don't know how God did it. But yeah, I wasn't a perfect kid, but I can tell you one thing that's true. I never wanted to embarrass my parents. I didn't want to. I loved them. They gave me so much. I saw what they did. But how much more my Heavenly Father as I grow up in the Lord? And we all mess up. We've all been unfaithful. We've all hurt Him. But God and but love. So that's where I've got today. That's why I've got right now. That's why I've got, praise God, the Spirit giving me utterance that we're being chastened of God. Do you love me? Then believe me. Quit fooling around. Believe me. I mentioned my brothers, and it was very sweet. When we went off, each one of us, and we went to college, and I know how Daddy felt about college with each of us, but Dad sat us down, and I always remember him saying this, and I really remember him saying it to me. He said, "Son, this is the hardest work you're ever going to do. This is the hardest work you're ever going to do." He wasn't telling me what to expect. He was telling me what it was going to be. It wasn't what that was going to be. It was going to come through here. "Son, this is the hardest work that you're ever going to do." It was a call from the sergeant. "Son, this is the hardest work you're ever going to do." He wanted us to completely apply ourselves to learning. He wanted us to not be distracted and get wisdom and get understanding. I was thinking how different it's been. I've been to two of these college introductions with each of my sons. And I remember vividly the last one. And this man came up and he said, "You know what, parents? Don't worry about your kids' grades. Don't worry really about what they're learning here. We'll take care of them. It's about the experience." And all I can think of and tell you this, is it any wonder why there are so many kids that live at home today with degrees? I'm just going to tell you like it is. Playtime's over. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you want success in your life, you have to apply yourself. And that is in everything we do. It's not an accident. You apply yourself. You study to show yourself approved. But I'm talking about the mark for the prize. I'm talking about the only thing that matters. My goodness, brothers and sisters, how much more important it, the only thing that matters. We need to apply ourselves to Jesus and His Word. Now, I don't believe that any of us would be here today if we didn't believe Him. Believe the Bible is the divine Word of God. But again, I ask myself, I ask you, under the power of the Holy Ghost, why not let it live in you? Why not let it fully live in you? Why do we keep trying to make our own way? How I'm going to yield to God? Why we come up with to one another and say, "Well, I'm different from you," or "You're different from me." Why don't we quit the rebellion and realize once and for all we are one in Christ Jesus? Why don't we realize once and for all it is the same life that lives in each one of us? And quit of ourselves and finally get serious about hearing the Word of God. And be serious about being in church. And to be tender of heart to not just to come on a Sunday, but understand I could have a double portion on Sunday and come on Sunday night. I could have a triple portion in the week and come on Wednesday night. I could even go for a quadruple and get in here at Bible study. I can get in here at prayer meeting. Why don't we take the opportunity, the only opportunities there really are, and make it the opportunity it is, and yield my life to God? Because as we close this up, if you haven't noticed, the world is falling apart. And that is the faithfulness of God. I believe it's just for me. Because I'll tell you what, if I had any hope of this thing, what a miserable sort I'd be. Amen? See, our society, brothers and sisters, even our families, so sad. But why go that way of destruction when we don't have to? But I'll assure you, if you follow the pattern of the world, in the pattern of the world, let me tell you something, it can be so slickly told. Oh, they can put lipstick on that pig like you can't believe. Oh, she's a pretty pig, though. No, that's a pig. Come on. And here it is once again this week. Isn't it wonderful how Jesus does it? My resurrection power. And see, even though he's never changed, even though that resurrection power, it's never changed. Praise God. That resurrection power, though, changes you today. That's the beautiful thing. Even though he's the same in me, he changes me from glory to glory every moment. That resurrection power, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, is even waking me up. It's waking you up a little bit more this morning. That, praise God, Lord, you've given me everything. Matter of fact, Lord, you are everything. My inheritance, which is undefiled forever, which is reserved in heaven for me. And after how I've acted, maybe even this morning, certainly last night, you didn't deserve it. But aren't you thankful he abides faithful? Isn't he wonderful? I know we smile, but man, we're a bunch of kids in the Father's house. And don't we rejoice in our Father? I mean, in all seriousness, see, that's the power of the resurrection. That's the working power. It's that thankfulness. It's the joy. It's the gratitude to Jesus. It's his love. And that's what the Spirit's doing in your heart right now. That's what the Spirit is doing in your heart right now. He loves me. He loves this hard-headed guy. He loves this one that even know the way, even know this good I know, I don't do it. But then the tenderness comes, doesn't it? It says, oh Lord, that power of the resurrection, it's going to change me. So I encourage you once again today. It's all good. It's all well. You've all heard the word of God. Now what do you do with it from here? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to get on my knees and I want to worship him. And I encourage you. There's enough room up here for everybody. There really is. And it's needful for you. It's not just, again, emotion or something I do because it's repetition. It's something, Lord, I need to do because you're drawing me. And I know you got the same Father I got. And I'll tell you what, he's drawing me and he's drawing you. Amen? So come. Come on. Come on. Come on, you can come on down now. Come on down. Just come and worship him. Come and worship him. Come and worship him. Oh, yes. Come and worship him. We're just going to end in that today. I don't think there's time for anything else. I just believe we need to come and worship him. So God bless you. And Lord willing, if I see you tonight, I'll see you tonight, but I hope to see you in heaven before tonight. But it's time to pray.